He is not to be bothered, Jarlaxle ordered. But watched? The leader of Brigandy Earth nodded again. Watched when he returns as well. He intends to remain in the north throughout the winter, so he told Serena. Jarlaxle mulled that over for a bit. For some reason he could not sort out, some reason lost to distant memories. It seemed fitting for this one to be in Icewind Dale. I would know where he settles then. Then Iago nodded and assured his master, his every move. On a warm autumn day, 5-10 days later, Regis reclined on the banks of the lake known as Mare de Walden, his boots removed and set on the moss beside him, a fishing line tied around one toe. Behind him, nestled among some pines, sat the comfortable cottage he had purchased on the outskirts of the small town known as Lonelywood. Little had changed here in a century, and Regis was glad of it. He had lived in this town for many years in his previous existence, and in a house barely 100 strides away. Despite his regrets at the roads left behind, he felt as if he had come home. He lay on his back and watched the puffy white clouds drifting lazily across the deep blue canopy of an Icewind Dale autumn sky. He thought of Danala, and how he wished that she could be here beside him, fishing and carving scrimshaw, living quietly and enjoying the passing of lazy seasons. He remained in Icewind Dale, Beniago reported to Jarlaxle in the underground caverns of the ancient ruins within the city of Luskan, a place of ghosts known as Illusk, which Brigandy Earth had taken as its headquarters in Luskan. It is possible that the Little One is an outlaw. Perhaps he double-crossed Dorigardo's grinning ponies, for he rode with them these past couple of years, I have learned. They have come as far north as Luskan to inquire of him. Now, if Dorigardo seeks him, we have heard no whispers. But this one, full of wealth, full of magic, and with apparent skill, has chosen to retire to Icewind Dale. To broker a deal? Beniago reasoned. Perhaps there are interests further south desiring trade with 10 towns. Jarlaxle shrugged. The one named Spider had mentioned a grandfather, which was a title usually reserved for leaders of assassins' guilds. Might this little one be an advanced scout? But then, how did that fit with him riding with the grinning ponies, a vigilante band, and surely no friends of an assassins' guild? Keep an eye? Beniago asked, correctly reading Jarlaxle's expressions. Half an eye, Jarlaxle ordered, and send inquiries to Aglarond of one grandfather Pericolo Topolino. Beniago's eyes widened at mention of the title. Quietly, Jarlaxle explained. Beniago nodded. Chapter 27 A confluence of events. The year of the Narthex murders, 1482 DR, Icewind Dale. Not a smile greeted Catti Bree when she walked into the lone inn in the town of Orkney, a windswept, salty village nestled among the southern shores and high rocks of the spine of the world's westernmost peaks, overlooking the great ocean. She moved to the main table and surveyed the menu items. Lots of fish, she said lightly to a nearby man, whose apron identified him as the cook or owner, or likely both. You get that when you live on the edge of the sea, another man not far away answered, and with no warmth in his tone. Catti Bree turned to regard him, to find him staring at her body and surely not looking into her eyes.
3 pieces of gold and take your pick, the man with the apron said.
Catti Bree started a bit at the exorbitant price. 3?
You came in with a caravan?
No, alone.
3 pieces of gold and take your pick, the man repeated gruffly.
I am not that hungry.
3 for a nibble, 3 for a stuffing, said a woman's voice from the other end,
and Catti Bree turned to regard the speaker, who seemed a fit in age and demeanor for the owner and was likely his wife. Are there rooms for rent?
Catti Bree asked. Anything for rent of you the gold, said the other man. He winked at Catti Bree rather disgustingly. Yes?
5 gold a night, said the owner.
Catti Bree held her hands up, somewhere between surrender and disbelief.
Not many visitors to Orkney, the man replied.
There's a wonder for a mage to unwind, Catti Bree replied with dripping sarcasm. Is there another common room in town?
You think I'd tell you if there was? The owner replied.
There's not, said the wife.
But there are rooms to rent, said the other man. Though you'd be sharing,
he ended with a dirty laugh that followed Catti Bree all the way back onto the street. She looked around at the passers-by, all huddled under heavy cloaks against the chill breeze sweeping in off the water. There loomed a dourness around this place, a cold chill as palpable as the burgeoning wintry weather. She moved to what seemed to be the town's main avenue, a wide boulevard weaving around an open market. She meandered around that marketplace, inspecting the wares, late-season fruits and vegetables mostly, along with cartloads of fish. She pretended to be interested, but in truth, she could call upon her divine powers to magically create better food than she found before her. She had only inquired about a meal in the tavern to warm up the conversation in the place, for though she was only passing through Orkney, she held a lingering curiosity about the town. Wulfgar had been here, and indeed had found quite the adventure here. One that had left him with an adopted child, though for a short time only before he returned the girl to her mother, Miralda, who was back then the Lady of Orkney.
"Don't you be touching what you aren't buying,"
one woman merchant snapped at her as she reached for an apple.
"How am I to judge the freshness?" Catti Bree asked.
"You'll know when you bite it, and you'll bite it after you pay for it."
Catti Bree shrugged and retracted her hand.
"Pray, tell me. Who is the oldest person in Orkney?" she asked.
"Eh?
Who has been here the longest? Who would know of days gone by?"
"Well, I'm older than you, so what's your question?"
the merchant asked.
"The line of Ork, back to Miralda."
The woman began to laugh.
"Her daughter, Colson?"
"Lady Colson," the woman replied. "Died when I was a child."
"And her child sits on the throne now?"
The merchant shook her head.
"Her children both died before her and took the line with them."
Catti Bree chewed her lip, wondering where to take the conversation next.
"Do you remember Lady Coulson?"
The woman shrugged.
"Bits. Poor girl. Born of rape and kidnapped.